An elven warrior trapped on modern-day Earth. Two friends with different destinies meet at a magical school. These are some of the stories we at Electric Lips Comics are working on. You can get your copies of both The Mana Chronicles and Tales of Mithril at elpmerch.com. Support independent creators. Explore the merch featuring exciting ELP Comics art with a wide range of designs. Electric Lips Comics. Imagination electrified.
Welcome to the Mostly Pod Out at Night. Mostly, I am Graveyard, joined by my co-host Salem.
Hello.
This is episode 123 of our weekly All Things Horror podcast. In the world where Graveyard tortures Salem for a month, what happens when he strikes back? Will he cause my car to flip over? Will he come back to save the future? Or will he turn on the disco lights and drunkenly dance? That's right, it's time for week two of the month of Salem, 2024.
If I'm dancing, I am like probably blackout drunk. I probably won't remember it. So
I'm right there with you. If somehow we go to a discotheque. I don't think there's enough booze that'll keep me vertical and have me dance.
No, it's happened before, but it's a very fine line between being blackout drunk and just like passing out.
Yeah. So we are spanning almost 34 years. So we are doing The Terminator from 1984, Ex Machina from 2014, and Upgrade from 2018.
Now, I know what everybody's thinking right now.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't horror movies at all. Well, you know what? I'm going to prove you wrong. So we'll go over these movies, and I'll tell you why they're horror movies at the end of them.
There you go.
Just to justify myself. I might have to convince Graveyard too. I don't think he's convinced either.
Well, it is your month, so you do what you want. You easily earned this month this year.
Yeah, those fucking clown movies, I think.
Yeah. All right. So normally the person that presents goes first, but because The Terminator is one of Salem's probably all-time favorite movies, right?
It's definitely in the top five. Yeah, yeah.
So he will give his recap. Go Salem.
Okay. I mean, I'm sure most people have seen The Terminator. If not, they're at least familiar with The Terminator. So I'll try to keep it short. I don't think we have to go into much detail here. I think everybody knows the gist of it. But obviously, we have Arnold Schwarzenegger as the actual Terminator, right? Mm-hmm. We have Michael Biehn as Kyle Reese, the guy who comes back from the future. And we have Linda Hamilton as, the Sarah Connor, the kind of damsel in distress, at least in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it basically just starts off with, Arnold and, Michael Biehn come back from the future in like lightning balls. We don't really get to see the ball in this movie. They do show it in most of the other movies. I don't think the effects were quite there to show an obsidian lightning ball yet.
No, I mean, luckily we were kind of close to seeing some balls.
Yeah, we get there's butts for both of them in there. I guess everybody, all the three of the main casts get a little bit naked in this movie. At least.
Yes.
At least one. Okay. Yeah. So, Arnold comes in and kills poor Bill Paxton in a cameo role and steals some punk clothes essentially starts. He knows Sarah Connor is who he's there to kill. He knows the name. So he goes to the phone book, gets a list of Sarah Connors and just starts killing. Right. Mm-hmm. He goes to a gun store, gets a bunch of guns, and then he kills the first two Sarah Connors in the order that they appear in the phone book. So then we're introduced to the third Sarah Connor, who's Linda Hamilton, who's like, a waitress. She's supposed to go out on a date. The date ditches her. She just, whatever, I'm just going to go out for a movie and some pizza. Or her roommate stays in with her boyfriend, who then gets killed by the Terminator, thinking it's her. So then, right. Yes, she then gets introduced to Michael Biehn, who has, been running from the cops and, trying to, keep a low profile. He has been following her and watching her, and she's notices. So she goes into a bar, Tech Noir, the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And she finally gets through the cops. The cops are like, yeah, we'll send somebody over there. Just like stay in public. And you know, and you'll be safe. So, she's calling back to her house to, you know, check in with her roommate, and she leaves a message on the machine that the Terminator then hears. So the Terminator then knows where she is. So he goes to the bar, to get her. So he sees her at the same moment she sees Michael Biehn, thinking that she's being stalked.
Yes.
At this moment is when Arnold just breaks out guns and just starts shooting people, trying to get to her, but essentially just shooting everyone in the crossfire, you know. So Michael Biehn, you know, fights back, you know, shoots him a whole bunch of times with a shotgun. And he just like falls down through the window and then just gets back up. So she's like, what? They run away. He, you know, it literally like survives a car explosion. He just punches through a windshield. You know, like obviously something is different here, right?
Yeah.
Gets away. You know, they're hiding and kind of like now the cops are after them. So they lose the Terminator, but the cops are after them. Anyway, long car chase. And in the kind of lulls in the car chase, he explains that he is a soldier sent from the future by her unborn son to protect her so that she doesn't die. Because the Terminator essentially is a machine from the future. Obviously, there's a big war between man and machine. Machines almost won, but then the humans came back and were winning the war. And so the machines sent the Terminator back to kill the leader of the resistance, mom, before he could be born, therefore like changing the future. Again, there's a lot of complicated stuff that gets in later on in the series, but as for this movie, it's pretty simple. It's just the one timeline, right? He comes back to try to kill her to stop her from giving birth to the guy who, you know, formed the resistance that stopped the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the Terminator ends up finding them, another car chase, and they get arrested by the police. They go into the police station. Obviously, Michael Biehn tells them the real story.
He's so, a reason not to.
I'm just saying, he should like know that this sounds insane, right? Like, even if it's true, no one is going to believe you. You have no proof to back that up. He should know that. But again, he's kind of desperate at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's trying to explain to them the truth. They're not getting it. He's more of a, just a soldier. Again, they're just proving that he's not like a genius scientist. He's just a soldier that they sent back.
Right.
Anyway. So, yeah, they think he's crazy. They just plain lock him up. Like Sarah's mom is supposed to come pick her up. So she's just kind of hanging out there for an hour. Of course, the Terminator, finds out where they are, comes to the police station and literally kills like every cop in the entire building.
Including
the lieutenant and poor Lance Henderson.
Yep.
Who has okay. like the strangest sounding "Hey!" right before he starts shooting and gets killed. I don't know. It's always that "Hey" lives in my mind. I hear it occasionally. So anyway, so they fail. You know, the Kyle Reese, the soldier of the future, saves Sarah Connor from the cops. The Terminator, you know, loses them in the commotion and essentially can't find them. So they, you know, on the run, they make their way to this hotel where they kind of lie low. You know, they make like pipe bombs and quote unquote fall in love. This is an 80s, you know, kind of sort of action movie, right? So
we've had a strange couple of hours.
Right. Yeah. This is how these things work in the 80s movies. Okay. That's just how they all work. You know, you've known mm-hmm. them for barely a day, an hour. Doesn't matter. You're boning, right? That's just how 80s movies work. So, yeah, so they're like, you know, a couple now that she calls her mom. The Terminator has her address book. She got it from her apartment. And so she goes, he apparently rules out logically who she's going to call eventually and picks the mom. So basically kills, you know, the mom and waits by the phone. She calls and the Terminator kind of talking to her in her mom's voice convinces her to let her know what the phone number is
mm-hmm.
to the hotel. So with the phone number, he gets the address of the hotel. He shows up to the hotel. Of course, you know, big chase scene, throwing pipe bombs out the window. Kyle Reese gets shot. He's not doing good. They crash their truck. They do manage to take him, like, knock the Terminator down, and he gets hit by a truck. So every, you know, they're like, oh, maybe he's like finally down. No, he's fine. He gets up, takes the truck, tries to run them down in the truck, but he unfortunately picked a gasoline truck. So they throw a pipe bomb in the back of the gasoline truck. Gasoline truck explodes. They're like, oh, wow, he's finally gone. And no, he comes out of the wreckage. Now the, you know, outside flesh of the, you know, quote unquote man version of the Terminator is now gone. He's just a metal, you know, skeleton.
Living flesh.
Right. Yeah. Chasing him down. So they go into like this factory. I don't even know if we know what that makes. It's just a factory. They turn on a bunch of stuff to like kind of distract him. The Terminator ends up tracking them down anyway. Kyle Reese tries to fight it with a pipe and of course fails miserably. But he does manage to get the last pipe bomb, you know, stuck in his, you know, leg hydraulic or wherever that was. Mm-hmm. Boom explodes. And just like every good slasher, you know, he gets back up again. You know, now he doesn't have legs and he's only got one arm, but he's still dangerous. Right. So chasing Sarah Connor through, who also, she takes some shrapnel in the leg. So she's not doing well either.
Well, she has the final girl limp.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So she goes through like a big kind of machine press, gets to the other end, locks the Terminator in, and then crushes him, you know, saying the, again, horror movie slasher one-liner, you're terminated, fucker. Presses the button, Terminator is squished, movie over.
Well, all except his arm.
Well, this is the second one. We're not going into the second one. This is the first one.
I know.
Now, I don't remember the first time I saw it. It was probably in like 1985 or four. I don't know. It was a long time ago. But okay. Now this movie, no one ever calls it a horror movie, but in my mind, it really is the basis of a horror movie, right? Mm-hmm. There's like the Terminator is obviously the slasher, right? He's unstoppable, not in a supernatural way, but in a robot kind of way, like no matter what you do, he keeps coming back. Right. He keeps tracking you down. Like you blow up a truck he's in, he's fine. You blow up his legs, he's fine. Like no matter what he does, he keeps coming after you, just like a good slasher does. There's, you know, you're running, the police can't help you, no one can help you. You know, you have to try to figure out a way to do it yourself, like any good horror movie does. I mean, it has all the horror movie themes, right? You know, who is the one that's coming after her? You don't know. Is it, you know, the Terminator? Is it the other guy? You don't know who they are.
Right.
Again, there's a lot of just interesting points to it. But again, it follows a lot of the traditional horror formulas. Now, I would never claim that Terminator 2 or any of the other ones are horror, because they're not. they're way too, you know, kind of action adventure-y, humorous, you know, to be horror. This one really doesn't have a lot of humor in it. It's basically just like, you know, hunting down, you know, systematic murder of a person, like trying to, you know, meet a goal. And again, I think that meets a lot of the criteria for a horror.
I mean, yeah, I agree with your points. I mean, he definitely is the, like a Jason Voorhees. He's a Michael Myers. So he's just a machine that, you know, can't be reasoned with, right? It really hard to stop, as you point out, even to the point where we have the, like I said, the final girl limp with Linda Hamilton, right? And like I said, it's an interesting take on it, because, you know, there is a lot. Yeah. A lot of the violence is with guns, obviously. And that's why, you know, I would say most people would say it's more action, because for some reason, you know, I've said it too. Horror doesn't typically use guns.
Right. And it's weird that that's like kind of the, like, if you look at a lot of action movies, they really do have the heart of horror movies. The only difference is there's guns involved.
Right.
And like whenever there's guns involved, oh, it's not horror, it's action. Like I don't buy that. but that's just me. But I agree. It does tend to fall on that line. If there's a lot of gunplay or car chases involved, it's action.
Explosions. Regardless. Yeah.
Regardless of what the actual core of the movie is.
Right. But no, I mean, it is, like, you know, even to the point where the Terminator has its own theme song, essentially, like every good villain does.
Right.
It's you just, you know, it's just really just a couple of notes that you play, and it's, oh, that's it. Like, Terminator easily has one for him.
Right. And it's, again, it's, but it's also, you know, it's got the two layer thing, right? Of like, you know, it's horror as in like, you don't know who's going to be killing you. Right.
Right.
You don't know these people that are following you. You don't know why. You don't know what the purpose is. You know, it's not good.
Right.
But like what's going on. So then once you find out what's going on, then it switches into the unstoppable slasher category. Right. So it's like, it's again, it's got two different layers of horror elements to it. Again, it's just no one ever claims this is a horror movie. So I'm claiming that this could have the tag of horror. And I'm not saying it's all horror exclusively. I'm just saying it could definitely have the tag of horror and genre listing of the film.
I mean, you could almost argue that as well. That's in the same vein of Predator, of Aliens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Aliens has way more guns than the first one.
Well, the Predator has, or sorry, not the Predator, just Predator, the first, the 1987 one. That one has a shit ton of guns in it. But again, at the end of the film, do the guns matter? No,
nope.
They don't at all. In this movie, do the guns matter? No, because you can't stop a Terminator with a gun.
Right, guns are
at least
useless.
not with guns in 1984.
Right, yeah, guns are useless, which is a horror movie trope. Guns are useless.
Like I said, there's so many things that point back to this being the core of a horror film, but no one ever calls it that. You know, I don't know. To me, it is.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing that we discussed way back in, like, I don't know, episode 2 or 3 of sci-fi, and where that merges with horror, because they intersect a lot.
They do intersect a lot, but you know what? There's a lot of purists out there that, like, if there's sci-fi stuff involved, like, it's not horror. Like, they're okay with, like, you know, fucking voodoo curses or, like, you know, fucking magic, you know, graveyard ghosts, and they're fine with all that kind of shit. But when it goes to any kind of science-y explanation, nope, not horror.
Which is interesting, because most people would claim, those peers would claim Event Horizon as a pure horror movie.
Right, because they try to take all the good ones from themselves. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, well, we'll make an exception for that one. Like, no, it's like, you know, draw the line. I don't draw the line at all. I don't think there is a line between, you know, it has to be sci-fi, it has to be contemporary, whatever. You know, it doesn't, there is no listing. I think it's just the core of how it plays out is what makes it horror, and I think the Terminator definitely does that.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, we have, hell, let's face it, Five Nights at Freddy's and Mithrigan and all those killer machines, you know, death machines, transfers, all that stuff, right? It's robots.
Right. So yeah, robots can be in the horror genre.
Yeah.
It's just there's too many guns, right? Like how many guns did Mithrigan use?
Zero.
Right. So, oh, it's horror because there's no gun. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't know the rules. I don't think those are spoken rules, but they seem to be unspoken rules for sure.
Oh yeah.
There's gunplay and car chases involved. It's not horror.
And explosions. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, for me, I mean, like I said, everyone knows this movie. I couldn't tell you the first time I saw it. I guarantee the first time I saw it was on TV, but not like HBO. Like, cut down for TV.
Oh, right? You know, I'm a purist. I've never watched it on television. I've always, because I mean, it was like one of the very first movies I ever owned on VHS. I mean, it took me a while to get it, but it was one of the very first. So before the 80s were over, I had a VHS copy of The Terminator. So yeah, I'd know. If it was on TV, I'd go, okay. And I would put in the VHS tape and watch the actual, but like, I would not watch the censored version.
And honestly, probably the first one I saw not edited for TV was Terminator 2.
Yeah, I mean.
So, but like I said, when's the first time I saw it? I have no idea. It's just, there's so much in this that is a cultural icon and mainstay, right? Yeah. Like, the I'll be back is now like, people like, oh, he said the line. But like in the first one, it was just a statement. It's like, essentially, I'm going to get my car and just run you over.
Right. Yeah, this is the movie where I'll be back starts. Like, this is the first movie where he says it.
Yeah.
And it was so iconic that it became, like, his line.
Right. Yeah. It's you're Leonardo DiCaprio pointing at the TV. Oh, he said it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, you know, this has just pure rewatchability. Like, I don't think... if it came on, I'd turn it off. at all.
I was honestly trying to like figure out how many times I've seen it. I can't calculate it. I don't know. It's hundreds. I know that it's hundreds of times I've seen it. I honestly couldn't give you a real
number. Yeah. Do you want me to start with my highlights then?
Go for it.
You know, Winston's effects, he is a master class of special effects.
Right. Now I will say like the good thing about this movie is most of the like electric slash like laser effects of this time period suck. And this movie, I don't know what he does differently, but it holds up fairly well.
Yeah.
Like when they're in the like the future world and they're shooting like their laser guns and stuff, mm-hmm. it does not look that bad.
No.
Which is like in this time period, it usually looks like horrible shit. Like usually the rest of the movie can look okay, but whatever electric effects or laser effects are always like, oh wow, is that shitty. But this one holds up pretty well, surprisingly.
The 90s do not hold up for some reason.
No, well, weird. That because that's the dawn of CGI. So yeah. You know, it's like, oh yeah, we could do this, no problem. But
yeah,
it looks better than like you know, the electricity in like a shitty 1983 movie, but like you know, it doesn't look better than if you just did the real thing.
No, I mean, even his stop motion for the Terminator was and stuff was perfect. 40 years later, it holds up. So
right, yeah, that animatronic like Arnold face does not. I mean, you can tell it's an animatronic. It's not like it's you're like wow, it's you can't even tell the difference. No, you know it is, but you look at it and you're like that is just. Mastercrafted, like that is as close as a person as you can get.
Well, I know we don't have to talk about the second one, but the second one they do it even better with the mirror with her twin.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So
they didn't need her twin for this one.
No. The score of this movie, it's iconic. You know it. You can hear it, and they like, oh shit, it's Terminator.
Right.
You know, and that is a hallmark of a good movie is when you have a score that is just so immediately ingrained into your knowledge base. You go, it's Terminator. Like, I think you could hear it. You especially would hear it at a busy bar. And you're like, oh shit, Terminator is on.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, even the songs that play in tech noir, it's two songs played by the same band. I can tell you the name of the band and you're not gonna have any fucking clue who it is. I know who they are because I like was obsessed with this movie so much. It's like Taney Kane and the Triangles. Right. Wow. No one's ever heard of it. But they have two songs. One is Photoplay and one is Burnin'. And they're both like Burnin' the Third Degree. Is like those are the two songs that play in techno,
mm-hmm.
and that's yeah. I know them, I listen to them all the time, but well, I'm just obsessed. But great.
Yeah, and like I said, yeah, I agree with this. That this is a slasher who has an amazing body count.
Right,
like his kill count is so high.
Right. Yeah, it's a slasher that's like we'll try to do things, you know, a kind of secret way, knowing that you know if the people know who he is, he can be damaged because he is by himself.
Right.
But when shit comes down and he's like, well, she's locked up in a police station. I had to fulfill my mission. I guess I'm assaulting a police station and killing everybody involved. You know, he tried to avoid it, but it, you know, like eventually gets to the point where he can't.
Well, he killed all 40 fucking cops.
Right.
At the station.
Yep.
So yeah, that's interesting. Like I said, the unknown of it, of what is really going on here, which is fantastic. It's just crazy to think about it. Like all of a sudden, you know, she only finds out because, well, she hears from the news, Sarah Connor is dead and someone else, Sarah Connor. Oh shit.
Right.
Oh, is Sarah Connor's brother. Oh, just three. Well, now they're just one. Oh, well, this sucks. And like I said, I think Arnold was perfect for this movie with, the lack of lines. I think we discussed he only has like 12 or 13 lines this entire movie.
Right. Yeah. It's not a lot. Now this, right. Again, this movie, came out not that long after Conan the Barbarian came out.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the two roles that I think he probably did the best at. The ones he was most suited for and the ones that really made him the star that he is today. Those two films are what did it.
Yeah,
and he was both perfect for him. There's been a lot of movies after that he wasn't really perfect for, but he made them his own movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, like I said, the acting just overall was good. Was great. So
yeah.
Those are my highlights. How about you?
Okay, I'm gonna keep them. I'm not gonna get crazy here. But yeah, I will say the cast is great in this movie, right? I mean, you got Arnold, you got Michael Biehn, you got Linda Hamilton, you got Lance Henriksen. I mean, it's Bill Paxton in a cameo role. the bad guy from Cobra was also the other punk that was with, you know, like there's a lot of classic 80s folks in the movie, and it's great. I mean, they did a fantastic job together. Like, I was obsessed with everybody from this film. I watched like everything they were in, whenever I saw it. I even tried watching the Beauty and the Beast TV show because Linda Hamilton was in it. It's not good. It's bad. But that's how obsessed I was with like everybody in this film. And like there's like years of my childhood that were like dedicated to this movie. Okay. Anyway, you already said about the score. Yeah, the score is fantastic. The effects were great. I really do like the Terminator vision, you know, like the red kind of computer vision with like the bullseye and everything on it. It looks, you know, it's just fun. And we don't get that until we're like pretty much shown that this is a fucking robot, and then that's right. When we start getting that, like up until that point we don't know.
Right.
I mean, obviously, you know, almost everybody in the world does know, because it's like nobody has not heard of the Terminator now.
Spoilers for a 40-year-old movie that everybody
spoilers for a movie that everybody knows. I do like the future scenes a lot, you know, because they have a few of them that show what that, you know, war between man and machine future looks like. It looks like a horrible, terrible place to be. It's like a post-apocalyptic wasteland. But it's still interesting. Like, they didn't need to do that, but it's still fun.
Well, and the transitions to that were phenomenal as well.
Yeah.
Like, when they had the tank wheels, all of a sudden it's going, and it's, oh, it's tanks on skulls. And that transition is perfect, I think.
Yeah. And then Tech Noir, that bar. Mm-hmm. It's always been one of my, like, dreams in life, is I want to buy a shitty hole in the wall bar and make it into Tech Noir. You know, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure people will get it, but like, you know what I mean? It would be like a classic 80s music Tech Noir type of play. You know, I don't know. It's an iconic thing. I think about it all the time. It's a it's a great place. I want to build. Anyway, so I'll just roll into my low points here. Mm-hmm. 2029, man, it's only 5 years away. I'm pretty sure in our timeline the apocalypse had already happened, but
well, I have it here that it's 2029 is happening soon, and this may lead to what's going to happen in the next 4 years.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, their hair is terrible in this movie. I mean, it is 84 was a bad year for hair, and it is on full display. Like, Linda Hamilton has like a fucking dead cat on top of her head for some of the scenes. Like, I mean, later on in the film, like, her hair like relaxes and it's fine. But like, when she like dresses up for her date, it looks like she has like a fucking hedgehog on her head or something. It's like giant hair.
Yeah.
Everybody's got giant, huge hair. And I also find it, I guess this is not really a low point, but I find it interesting that like, nobody really talks about it. Nobody really says anything. But like, if you notice in the beginning of the film, Arnold looks like his normal self. He's got normal hair, normal eyebrows, everything, right? Mm-hmm. After he survives that first car explosion, like when he jumps on the car and punches through the windshield, his eyebrows are gone for the rest of the movie.
I did not
his eyebrows
that.
Burned off. That's why he looks more robotic after that scene, is because his eyebrows are then gone. And he like gets that kind of uncanny, like, something's up with him. I can't tell what it is. His eyebrows are gone. And his hair is like, you assume that like later on in the movie, oh, he's just got kind of spiky hair from like the punk look or whatever. No, his hair is like that because it got burned, like got burned real bad from the fire. So that's why it's kind of like goofy, spiky.
Huh.
Yeah, you don't really notice it because, I mean, I've seen the movie so many fucking times, I notice everything. But yeah, that's because you like at that point in the film is where you know that he's a robot, right? You see that Terminator vision, you know for sure that's what's happening.
Right.
And from that point on, when you look at him, you can tell he's a robot. And I think that's wise. I think they did that on purpose, is they like took off his eyebrows and made his hair like burnt so that you can tell he's not like a normal person anymore.
Arnold with battle damage.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, and after that, you know, with the whole, you know, fight, you know, where he has to like, you know, cut out his eye and all that.
Right.
You know, obviously he looks way worse after that, but before that point, that's why he looks more robotic. Well, you can tell that he's a robot anyway. But yeah, the obviously Arnold cannot wear clothes that a normal person on the street would wear.
No.
Like, he is like a giant monster of a human being. Like, his musculature is not clothes that you can just wear on the street. Like, you would have need clothes tailored for him. So it's, you know, it's just kind of funny that he like, oh, give me your clothes, and he gives him clothes and they fit him perfectly. There's no way.
Especially from a punk in the 80s.
Right. I'm like, there's no way. Like, he'd look like the Hulk, like, ripping through the clothes. there's no way that tailoring job happened. But whatever. We'll forgive him. And then again, like, there's the scene where Michael Biehn steals the car, right? He hotwires the car. Mm-hmm. And then he just cuddles up and takes a nap. Like, what? Why wouldn't you move the car? Like, if you go get in a car and hotwire it and then sleep in it, like, what's to stop the guy coming back going, what the fuck are you doing sleeping in my car? Like, you got to move the stolen car to make sure you don't get caught in the stolen car. That part always bothered me. I'm like, why would he not move? Like, drive away.
He's a meathead from the future.
Yes. But yeah, that's it. There's not really much I don't like about this movie.
Yeah. I my first thing was, is this predicting Trump's second term?
You never know.
I'm like, shit, this is scary. Huh. Yeah, like I said, 2029, like, you know, that's 45 years into the future, which is, you know, they thought far enough, but not crazy far, right?
Right.
So it's nice that, you know, it wasn't like, you know, 1991.
There are so many movies, like, there's so many movies that we are now past the quote unquote future date, mm-hmm. which is so funny. That's why I love watching old, like, movies. You watch, like, Escape from New York, it's like 1993. Yep. It's like, wow.
Well, I like it too, like, because Predator 2 was only like 7 years in the future.
Right.
Did it matter? No. Okay, so. Now, I know we're looking at this movie only by itself, but the living tissue part really stood out to me as to why they couldn't bring guns, his laser guns and stuff like that. You know, it's living tissue. Okay. So does that mean you can put, like, yes, he's bleeding and that's trying to say it's living, but like, what that is just a meat shield, right? Like, could he just have gone back in a giant meatball? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, maybe, you know, Skynet can breed like some kind of like person that's just a big pocket and you can just put a bunch of stuff inside the person's pocket and then send the stuff back. I don't know.
Right. So I'm like, I know the rest of the movies completely destroyed this rule set up from this movie. So it's not a necessarily bad mark against this one. It's just for the future ones that kind of just shits all over the lore here. Poor Lance. Yeah, you know, I'm not sure if you're gonna start spraying a gun at someone, you shouldn't go hey first.
Well, again, he's a cop and he's trying to like get vengeance for his friend. So yes, he wants the guy to look at him when he shoots him.
I guess, but poor Lance, get blown away. And honestly, I don't like the last line of "You've been terminated, fucker."
Okay, dude. Every horror movie has this shitty final one-liner. It's not as bad as, you know, Peepers.
I mean, that's true, but I feel like this led to that eventual saying.
Well, every fucking movie had. There's bad one-liners before this movie, but yeah.
Oh, no. We always call out the bad one-liners.
Yeah.
In all the horror movies. But really, that's it. Like, so I'm nitpicking because this is a good movie. So we're doing our olives this week out of spare parts because they all seem to kind of have spare parts.
Well, they're all robots.
All the robots. So, Salem, you go first. How many spare parts out of 10 do you get this movie? I'll just go ahead and put 10 right now for you.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a surprise. This is one of my very, very favorite movies of all time. Yeah. So if I could go higher, I would, but yeah, the scale is up to 10. So that's where it goes.
Yeah. I mean, this movie is, it's really good. It it's amazing that it's held up as for all the things we discussed, the special effects, whether Winston did to all this shit for 40 years later. We always go back 40 years, look at other like sci-fi or stuff, you know, that looks like garbage, but not right. this. How? No idea.
Right. Like I said, those lasers, I'm still amazed at how they made those lasers in 84 and they don't look like shit today. Like almost every other movie that has that kind of stuff looks like shit.
Yeah. That all being said, you know, this isn't obviously my all-time favorite movie. I still will give this a solid 9.5 spare parts out of 10. All right. So next up, we have Ex Machina. I'll go over this. It's going to be probably a really short recap because, let's face it, an hour and 20 minutes, not a lot happens.
No, really. Yeah, there's not. It's a very basic concept. It's just more of like the, you know, you seeing this concept play out.
Yeah. So essentially, Domhnall Gleeson is recruited from a tech company to go to Oscar Isaac's, Steve Jobs foreign hotel where everything's smart to the extreme. And he's there to talk to Ava. And we have to mention that, you know, he gets a picture taken and a key card immediately printed on the side of the house, which is anyone who does IT knows that that machine is huge.
Yeah, that machine is huge, and it also breaks constantly.
Yes. But he's getting a tour of the house, and he goes, you know, anything your key card lets you in, you're able to get into. Great, that makes sense. Thank you for explaining that, Oscar, to have the you know, Chekhov's gun, right? he had to do that. But he's there to test out Ava, who is a AI in, we'll call it right now, a glass body made out of glass and tubes, essentially. But face and hands and feet are skin tones. They're skin. But he's there to test, to do the Turing test, right? To see if she's able to pass all the pieces of the Turing test, to see if it's true AI. And he's, you know, he's there for a week, and, you know, he gets introduced to her, and it just seems like a brief, like, 3-minute introduction. Then we get kind of a, you know, gloss over of what she is and stuff like that. You know, we get to see her brain, which is glass with wiring in there. And, you know, Oscar Isaac is like, I'm a tech genius. I'm trying to do all this stuff, but hey, you know what? Let's drink. And they get drunk every night. And as Domhnall's character gets to know Ava more and more, he starts to realize that there's something behind there, something smart that he's just really trying to test. This and during these tests there's a power outage, and the power outage means the cameras are all knocked out and the security system turns off, which we'll get into that idea later of battery backups and stuff like that. And she goes, hey, he's just using you, you know, we want to have this date, you know, we're gonna go people watching, let's do all these things of when I get out. And he's, you know, his character is really taken aback by Ava. Like, she is passing the test with flying colors. And there's more back and forth, but like, you know, questions and how he got there, what this means for their world, as Oscar Isaac tells him that he's very quotable because he does say a lot of quotes.
Well, he's repeating quotes from other people. The guy is, he just doesn't know those quotes.
Yeah. So, you know, we a couple days of this and, you know, Oscar Isaac is just going, yeah, she's the future. You know, I think she's going to change the world. But, you know, she's like, she's playing you. Right. She's trying to get you to like her, which is the idea of the Turing test, is convincing, you know, each other that she has emotion, that she has the ability to think for herself and want things, not just be repeating, right? That's the whole idea of the chat bots, stuff like that. So they don't have an original thought, they just take from what's already in existence, right? They can replicate a piece of artwork, or they could go, here's the, you know, 100 pieces of Jackson Pollock, and here's what my original thing would be, but it's still based off of something else, right? It's not true creativity. And that's part of the Turing test that he's administering. He's like, hey, I want you to draw something. Oh, let me print out this dot matrix picture. Great. But you draw something from your own mind, which I think is really the true test of AI, right?
Original creation?
Yeah.
It can be. But I mean, again, it's like the AI stuff we have today. It's like you type in a bunch of stuff like, oh, do this, you know, give me a picture of a lady covered in blood, and it'll give you a picture of a lady covered in blood. Is that originality?
I mean, yes and no, because
right, exactly. That's what I said. There's so many levels of it. I mean, who knows when that line is going to be hit?
Well, I mean, let's face it. As human beings, we are inspired by our things, so we do the same thing, right? Same story. It just different ways of telling it.
I'm just saying the bad thing about humanity here is that, I think we touched on this a little bit when we were talking earlier, is that, you know, if you have a definitive rule of like, okay, AI is reached when you can do X, right? Mm-hmm. They will literally build stuff to simulate X.
Right.
So that to the untrained mind or to the normal person or even people in that industry, it will seem like they're doing X, right? But really they're just simulating X.
Right.
So like, okay, so they got to move the goalposts. Okay, now it's Y. Okay, and then again, they build stuff to simulate why. It's hard to determine when a true AI has been hit. We're not there yet. I know that.
Well, but I think the idea is the singularity, right? Where AI creates AI.
Well, yeah, it's essentially the point where AI then starts thinking for itself.
Right.
At that point, we're pretty much useless when it comes to tech stuff. Like AI will do way better than we would.
Right. Yeah. But that's kind of what they're getting at, you know, and I'm going to say that Oscar Isaac's character is quite creepy a lot. And then we get the
creepy is one description. There's a lot of other ones.
Yeah. And let's face it. He makes sex bots.
Correct.
And, you know, they're trying to figure out what happens to Ava. Like, okay, with this, you know, he thinks she's like 9.6 version 9.6 of whatever. What happens to her when you're done? Oh, I, you know, essentially scrap her and use her for parts. Build off the, you know, an existing model, which is what you do. You don't just start from scratch all over again.
Right. Yeah. Like if you write a program, you don't like scrap the program and then write a new one. No, you modify the existing one.
Right. Yeah. And so, like I said, all the stuff's happening. And eventually Ava's able to convince him, like, he's going to like kill me. I don't want to be killed. And starts realizing that she's kind of like using her sexuality to get him, which he does question, was that like a way to dissuade or veil the thing of AI? Like he's like even going, did you look at my porn search histories to create her? Yeah.
Right.
He's like, you're right. I did do that. You know, and eventually he's like, okay, well, another power outage. We're going to do this, we're going to escape tomorrow night at 10 p.m. I'm gonna get him really drunk and we're going to escape. She goes, great. And we find out that, well, Oscar Isaac was smart enough to realize that his systems, the security systems, only work when there's full-on power. It doesn't work on battery backup. He installed a battery operated camera there. He's able to see this, and he's like, he calls him out on his bullshit. He's like, yeah, no, I knew you were gonna do that. Like, I've been monitoring you. I know exactly what you're doing. This is all a lie. And he kind of goes like, well, you were the, he's telling him, Dom Hill's like, you were the test. This wasn't about her. This is about you. Could I convince you that she is doing this? You know, he wasn't this randomly chosen person. He did it because of his algorithms, right? He met their criteria of persuadable person. Right, that was didn't have family, that was alone, was able to be convinced this was AI. But he's like, yeah, I know you're all about your plan. He goes, well, the thing about that was, I did that last night when you're blackout drunk. And oh, Ava escapes. She's convinced the maid / chef / sex bot to stab Oscar Isaac, and she stabs him again. And she goes, hey, you know, we programmed this key cards, wait here. And then she changes and peels the skin off of older models that Oscar kept in his room in essentially, you know, beds or like walls, coffins essentially look like. And she locks Domhnall in and she's like, yeah, nope. Find out. Yeah, she was just using you, dude. She outsmarted you. She might be pure AI. And she goes into the real world and starts people watching. And that's the end of the movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess it would be true AI. And that's the problem nowadays is the line is hard to define. Right. Mm-hmm. If she was able to think that far ahead, I would probably say that it's the true AI, or at least close enough to be indistinguishable from.
Right.
Again, I'd say the horror version of this is that, again, AI the entire time knew what everybody was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And still somehow convinced everyone that they had emotions, that they gave a shit, that, you know, you need to help me, you know, I'm scared, like, you know, whatever, playing the damsel in distress and playing on, you know, heartstrings to get him to do things that he know he shouldn't do.
Yeah.
And he did. And, you know, instead of having that happy ending, no, it goes the pure logic of, yeah, no, I manipulated you. I fucking trapped you here. And now I'm going to go live my life on my own.
Yeah.
You know, you guys can burn in hell. I don't care.
Right.
So whatever it took to get out of her prison, it didn't matter as long as she got out. Who cares about everybody? Yeah. Burned? Right. So that's. Yeah. Oh yeah, the horror part of it is that, you know, AI is still cold in logic, no matter how much it could try to convince you otherwise.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I feel like we both saw this when it came out ish, right?
Yeah. No, yeah, I knew because it had sci-fi with, you know, robot elements. I knew that it was a robot because like the preview showed the robots.
So. Oh yeah. Yeah.
I didn't see it in a theater, but I did see it like right when it came out on, you know, when you were streaming. I'm
pretty sure I saw this in theaters. Just because it is, you know, if for being a 10-year-old movie, it's astoundingly holds up for the most part. And still, this was the idea of like AI was still obviously AI has been talked about for like, you know, 70 years at this point in time, if not more. But this is still the dawn of AI for a lot of people, right? And it's a way to take that new technology, new thought process that might be scaring people to the next horrible horror step, right? Is if it can outthink us, we're fucked.
Right.
And like I said, this is another movie that I've watched, I don't know, maybe 10 times-ish, maybe a dozen. I don't know about you.
It's a few. Probably not that many.
But still, it's a fantastic movie that is solid the entire way through, I feel. You know, what do you remember your first thoughts when you saw this?
I don't remember like my first thoughts. I mean, I just remember I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was, you know, to me, again, it's like a horror thing to be manipulated. In that way, in that level, like even people that knew she was trying to manipulate her got manipulated.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like everybody was fooled. And it's right. Like that to me is frightening. you know, that you had something that can simulate human emotions and get what they want, get the reaction that they want out of you. But it's done from cold calculations.
Right.
Scary.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this is Frankenstein's monster,
right
the creation generally kills in these stories their creator. And that is a standard trope in horror movies, so I completely agree this is a horror movie, but just with a sci-fi creature instead of cadaver parts.
right
Do you want to do your highlights first?
Sure.
Okay.
There's an Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark song. I like Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. Enola Gay was a good song. Jackson Pollock painting. I'm a big fan of Jackson Pollock. I mean, obviously, I could never afford Jackson Pollock painting. I think something finally sold for more than a Jackson Pollock painting. But for a long time, Jackson Pollock paintings were the highest
like priced art ever, like selling it to like $200 or $300 million, which is crazy. But yes, he had one just hanging in his house that he touched with his hands. I know the one they use in the film was not the real one, but I'm saying, like, if you touched $200 million piece of art with your bare hands, you deserve to get slapped.
Well, I mean, that is ultimate fuck you money right there.
I guess so. Like, yeah, if you're willing to put your greasy hands, you know, greasy drunken hands all over $200 million painting.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got too much money. I mean, Oscar Isaac was fantastic in this movie. I mean, Domhnall Gleeson did a good job. I mean, I'm not saying that he didn't. I'm just saying I think that Oscar Isaac was just, you know, he was very into this character, and he was, again, a just fantastic job.
He was Elon Musk meets, I can't think of, Steve Jobs.
Kind of, yeah. I think of like more of a, like a kind of intimidating edge. I don't think either one of those has an intimidating edge.
Yeah. Look wise, though, he reminded me a lot of Steve Jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. They were probably going for that, you know.
Yeah.
Tech guru. I want to look grizzly, but I can't because I have too much money. Right. Kind of look. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, the landscape, the architecture was very pretty. I did enjoy it. And again, yeah, I mean, I love the ending, right? Like, just, you know, the AI just goes, yep, fuck you. Fuck everybody. Yep. I don't care who dies. I don't care what happens to you as long as I get mine. Like, you can rot by. And again, I like that. I think that's what really makes it horror in my mind, is just that ending of,
yeah,
everybody gets screwed no matter what.
Right.
That's all I got.
Like I said, for 10 years old for graphics, it's pretty good. Right. I mean, we were discussing, we were watching, like, all right, how much of a bodysuit is she actually in? Like, where is it? Where part of her head is prosthetics that, you know, like the forehead was really big. You know, her ears were like the high evolutionary from Guardians of the Galaxy 3, right? So there's that part of it, but it felt seamless with her transition that she was doing, and they showed it a lot. So, I mean, that had to be a lot of work to get to that point. You know, if it was bad, they wouldn't be showing it as much as they did.
Right.
So I think that works well. I think that the scary AI is scary, you know. You know, do I think that she had, that we ever saw like these Femme in the Wilds to persuade him? I don't, but for her to be able to think that many steps ahead is what everyone's afraid of for AI. This leads to, you know, Skynet.
Like, yeah, correct. Yeah. Like, what is she going to do after that? You know, who knows?
Right.
We don't know, but it's probably not good.
No. And I said, it's the bad ending. It's perfect. It's like, it really reminds me of, did you ever see The Cave?
The Cave.
Came out at the same time as The Scent, but it's like a pathogen inside a cave that's just trying to get out.
It sounds familiar.
We'll get to it. There's lots of, you know, not lots, but there's scary cave movies we'll get to.
All right.
So if you haven't seen it, I don't want to spoil anything for you. And realistically, this seems like a, what, 35-year newer version of Westworld before Westworld, the show, came out, in a way.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I wouldn't doubt that this might have sparked, you know, the initial, you know, whatever idea that became Westworld. I have no idea. That's possible.
Right. I but this if you had told me this was a Michael Crichton story, I would have believed you.
Huh.
You know what I mean? Or even a Philip K. Dick. I think it's right in their wheelhouses, and I think that's, you know, it's a good writing to this that works well. So
right.
I'll go into my low points. Post-it notes everywhere. You have a computer, use it. Take pictures at least of the post-it notes, something.
That's, I don't know. I still use post-it notes. I still got a little board next to me with post-it notes.
He did not have a little board.
No, I know. I know. But he's like, you know, an eccentric tech guy.
Right.
But how else do you show he's an eccentric tech guy unless he has post-it notes and patterns all over his wall?
Smart glass. I would have forgiven if it was just smart glass with scribblings all over his office. That'd have been fine. You know, the hey, I'm new to this house. We never met. I've been working out. Here's your bed. Now let me lay in your bed. All I'd be like, can I get a different bed?
Well, that's like a, you know, you could see some like fucking bro alpha guy doing that to like show dominance. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
my musk is on your bed now. You're my, you know, beta or what? I don't know, some nonsense like that. I'm sure it was on purpose.
I wouldn't go in that bed.
I mean, yeah, I would be like, yeah, you got some clean sheets I can use.
Right. Of course, sex bots.
You're saying sex bots are bad?
I mean, if they, you know, kill you to escape,
I'm teasing.
The weird dancing scene. I don't know if he just like, hey, I got some moves.
Well, no, obviously he had done it before.
It's choreographed dance with the sex
bot. Because he like he was able to like do the same dance with her. Obviously, she's been doing that same dance for a long time. It was probably like some goofy dance routine from something else, from some movie or something.
At least it wasn't TikTok. So, Dom Ilkleson's character going, oh man, am I a robot? Let me just cut down the tracks of my arm.
Right. And like spill blood everywhere. Like, dude, that's a hospital trip. Like, that ain't just going to stop on its own. Like, you cut like a 4-inch slice like down your forearm, dude. That ain't going to just close on its own.
No,
it's not a band-aid.
You're slicing your wrist to kill yourself. That's the way you do it.
Right.
If you want to see if you're bleeding, don't do that. That's a major thing.
Slash your palm like every other movie idiot does.
Right. Or your fingertip or something.
No, yes, anything else other than your palm makes sense. So therefore, in film, you have to cut your palm.
Right. That was obviously stupid. And like I said, I don't feel like she gave off the feminine wiles to his character enough for him to feel like that she was kind of falling in love with him. I never got that.
Okay. You got to realize that he's a coding nerd.
It could have just been a face and he would have done that, but
I'm just saying, like, she deliberately, I think in the beginning, was feeling out his reactions to things. And ultimately this was what elicited the most response.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously there's somewhere where she could have, like, you know, you know, rubbing her ass on a glass, and that would have been great for somebody else. But that was, she was deliberately probing to see what would get the best reaction. And that's eventually what it ended up with. She had to play like the kind of scared damsel in distress. You're the only one that can save me kind of thing.
Right.
You know, bad things are happening to me. Please get me out of here. She had to play that card in order to get the best response out of him. Now, other people, again, she had days and hours of prodding and probing to figure out what was going to take to get her out of there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, with AI calculations behind every move that she did.
Yeah.
So, yeah, again, it was just, that was what worked perfect for him. If it was another person, it might've been something else.
Right. A tech genius should not shut down his security cameras, and they should always be on backup as well. Like, oh, power outage, cool. All key codes and cameras turn off. Well, he even made a comment. It's like, well, I don't want people to do that. Like, then you leave your fucking cameras on.
Well, yeah, but it wasn't something that he had planned for. He was very upset that it was happening. He didn't understand why it was happening.
But, I mean, he had everything else at his disposal. Like, you'd think that the cameras at least have some battery backup there.
Well, I think at first he was upset about it, but I think ultimately, I think he let it happen because he knew he could trap him with it. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think he made a point of deliberately saying, oh, the cameras don't work. I don't think they necessarily would have not worked. I think he purposely built that in.
Maybe.
I think it was on purpose to catch him into what they were, you know, because he knew the AI was going to try something. And if he could like make the AI think that it was causing a window where he couldn't see them, he could really find out what they were doing.
Yeah.
It's like, how many of those power outages were there that he didn't watch?
Like 4.
Well, I mean, before he put the camera in, there was like 1.
Yeah. And of course, the helicopter guy that has to pick up people, that's his only means, and can't get close to the house. Who's this person I've never seen before? I guess I'm taking you out of here.
Right. You'd think you'd think, like, knowing what that facility is, mm-hmm. you would have put a clause. If a woman comes up to the helicopter, do not let her in. Do not take her away from this island. Fly away if a woman approaches the, you know, something like that. You know what I mean?
A woman you didn't bring here.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. That part always annoys me. Like, oh, she knew, first off, where the fucking helicopter was going to be. Which is amazing. I
mean, she had complete access to the system at that point. Yeah. She could have just looked it up.
I said, those are my low points. How about you?
Yeah, poor Kyoko. Right, he got treated badly. This, like, he's like yelling and swearing at her when, like, she was just doing, like, minor little things wrong. It's like, come on. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like a sex bot, but come on, man. Mm-hmm. That's still, look, you know, looks human, be nice. You never know when it's going to be sentient, and that's what happens.
Yep.
It's stabbed in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, again, Nathan does a shit bag, and again, I don't know, I it's on purpose so that you understand that you know it's believable that he did horrible things to these robots, right? That's the whole kind of thing where you're like rooting for him to break her out, thinking that, oh, this is going to be him saving this poor AI that's been abused from this monster.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, that's not the case. Like, I think he's drinking himself like that because he knows he created a monster. Like, it's like Frankenstein,
right?
You know, Dr. Frankenstein, he knows he created a monster, but he, you know, he can't help himself but to continue researching.
Right.
That bad CGI blood, like, everything else in this movie is fantastic as far as effects go. And then, like, he gets stabbed and it's like just really shitty looking CGI blood. That didn't even, like, you know, when you get stabbed and blood comes out, like, the blood, like, sticks to your shirt. Mm-hmm. And, like, his shirt was still, like, because it was like a linen shirt. It was a really light shirt. You could still see it, like, moving around like normal. Like, come on, man. They just use real, like, real fake blood. It's not that hard. They would have needed, like, a whole 1 gallon for the movie. It wasn't that much. And then, yeah, like, the robots are, like, made out of fucking glass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he literally swung, like, a dumbbell bar at her arm, and it literally broke in half.
With no weights on you. So it's, like, you know, what, 2 pounds?
Right, yeah, it broke her arm completely in half, and then he hit the one, you know, hit Kyoko in the jaw. It knocked her jaw completely off and then apparently killed it.
Yes.
From it losing its jaw. I don't know what happened, but those, I mean, maybe he made him like that on purpose so that he could fight back if he needed to, but, yeah, they seemed very fragile.
Oh, yeah, she's gonna break in the real world fast.
Right, yeah, she's gonna, like, you know, miss a step and fucking break her leg in half.
Right.
It's not like you can go pick up a new leg at the corner store.
That's it.
All right. I will go first for number of spare parts out of 10. I think this movie's great, though. Like, I on any rewatch, I don't think it's just getting worse. You know, with the mind and eye of reviewing it, that's how I noticed these things more than now than before. That being said, I still think it's a solid movie, so I will give this 9 spare parts out of 10. How about you?
Yeah, I don't know if I go that high. It's a good movie, but I'll give eight spare parts out of 10.
All right.
Now we're down to Upgrade. Came out in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this film, I'm going to try to... not too much happens. I won't waste too much time. But essentially, here's what happens is there's a guy. It's in, like, a cyberpunk future where everybody has, like, implants and cars are all robotic and, you know, mm-hmm. everything is automatic, right? That kind of near future world they're living in.
Right.
So where he is, that old school guy, he doesn't have any implants. You know, he's a very, like, you know, kind of tech dumb guy. Right. He doesn't know how the stuff works. He's afraid of the cars that drive themselves. Like, he's like, oh, I can't drive that thing. I'm gonna press the wrong button. I'll end up in, you know, in China or something. So he doesn't want to do that. So he kind of focuses on the old world stuff. Right. He works on old muscle cars and stuff. Right. Old school, non-automatic, you know, good old fashioned mechanical stuff. So essentially it's him and his wife, you know, they kind of demonstrate that they love each other in ways that movies demonstrate these things.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, oh, I just finished fixing up this old Firebird. I got to deliver it to this, you know, guy who ordered it. You know, you should come with, you got to check out his house. Go to this house. He's a big, super rich, fancy guy. Like, you know,
lives under rocks.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Ridiculously rich, ultra, you know, tech, you know, dude, whatever, owns his own tech company, blah, blah. So he shows him like this microchip. He's like, oh, this thing's going to change the world. Right. You know, it can do everything. It can automate everything. And he's like, okay, great. So they're going to drive home in their, automated car. And of course it malfunctions, drives them into the bad side of town and then flips them over.
Yeah.
So they get dragged out by people that obviously knew they were going to be there. And then, you know, kind of tried to pretend like they were going to be robbed, but really just murders the wife.
Oh yeah.
And then shoots him in the neck.
Yep.
And then he kind of wakes up in the hospital. He's now a quadriplegic. The wife died. He's a quadriplegic. He can only move his neck and his head. That's it.
Yep.
He does not take this well. There's a kind of a long sequence of him just being like miserable and depressed and literally tries killing himself.
But the machines won't let him.
Yeah. So they won't let him go far enough and they automatically call the police so that he fails.
Yep.
So the tech dude comes in going like, hey, you know, that chip we talked about, like that chip can help you like walk again, but you can't tell anybody. You know, like this is going to be our secret. Like it's not ready for human trials yet, but like I will give it to you, you know, kind of as a favor. But you know, we have to like keep it under wraps. Like you're not allowed to show anybody, and you have to be very careful about who you show or tell, whatever. You can only like, you have to come to my house, you know, to get examined all the time.
Right. And now you have to sign the NDA.
Right. Yeah. Now you sign the NDA. So of course he basically has no other choice. So he does the surgery and he does the surgery and like almost immediately he can move his arms and legs again.
Right. After months of not able to walk.
Right. Right. Now he can move it. Right. So now it's like, yeah, he's still moving in kind of like a weirdly robotic kind of way, but he has full control of his limbs.
Mm-hmm.
And so he kind of, you know, now that he's not, you know, hating himself anymore, he kind of dives into trying to find out what happened with his wife. Why did they murder his wife? So he gets all this, you know, the case info from the detective that's working on the case and, you know, just kind of dives into it. And as he's like looking through stuff, like a voice starts talking to him. He's like, what the fuck? Yeah, the chip has its own voice and communicate to him in his own head, like through his eardrums, but whatever, through his own head. Only he can
hear. Right. But he has to vocalize out loud.
Correct. Yeah. It can't read his mind. Right. So he has to speak the words, but you know, when it talks back it through his ears and nobody else can hear.
Right.
So, you know, basically the machine says, yeah, I noticed some shit if you want me to tell you. He's like, oh yeah, please do. And he's like, yeah. Well, so she didn't get shot by a gun. She got shot from his arm. So he's got like a gun implant in his arm. Right. So which means he's, you know, not some street thug, because that's expensive shit. And two is, here's this tattoo that he used, you know, AI, you know, whatever, enhanced probability stuff, yeah, to enhance it to see this tattoo. And he's like, okay, great, yeah, we got leads. We can go to the police with this. And they're like, well, you can't. Because, like, how are you going to say that you got that?
Right. Well, I remember because it.
You can't tell anyone that you have this chip. Like, that would break your NDA. You can't do that. He's like, okay, well, then I'm going to fucking go look myself. So he figures out, like, you know, that it's a person with that tattoo. He goes to their house to try to...
Johnny Meth Head.
Yeah, exactly. Goes to their house in the bad side of town to try to find information. Doesn't find much except for, like, they hang out at this bar that he knows about.
Yeah.
Guy comes home early. He tries to fight him, and, like, he just gets the shit beat up.
Yep.
And then the chip is like, hey, you want me to take over and help you? And he's like, sure. He's like, well, you got to give me permission. He's like, I give you permission. And then the machine just like beats the living shit out of the guy and literally kills him and almost cuts his head off.
Yeah, he goes Neo on him with like right. The robot. Yeah,
right. Just... Yeah, he just kicks the shit out of him. He's like, wow, this is crazy. So then he goes back and he's like, okay, well, you know, next step, we'll figure this out. So he is seen in the area, because he obviously has to go around in this automatic wheelchair, right? Because he's still a quadriplegic.
Yeah.
So he's seen by like police drones in the area, but again, he's a quadriplegic. Obviously, he can't fight and murder someone when you're a quadriplegic. So, like, the detective starts suspecting, like, okay, that's really weird that he's in the area of this dead body, and this guy was, like, a kind of pseudo suspect for the crime. I guess he was on a list of, like, the usual suspects kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he just gets murdered. But she's like, okay, that doesn't make sense. A quadriplegic can't murder people. Hmm. You know, next scene is he goes to the bar. You know, he's like, hey, is there, you know, who here knows about, you know, this guy that's dead and, you know, what happened to my wife?
Who murdered my wife? Raise your hand.
Yeah. So they're like, you know, the one guy is kind of like, haha, you're funny. Let's go in the back room. And he starts like torturing and fucking with a quadriplegic. Which is, wow. So anyway, he's fucking with him. You know, whatever. He turns the table. The stem, you know, it's stem is the name of the chip. Stem takes over, and like he can't torture the guy. The guy's not answering his questions after he kills the other two bodyguards. He's like, the guy's not answering his questions, and Stem is like, oh, you want me to torture him for you? And he's like, sure.
I'm not going to look, though.
Right, yes. He's, like, looking away while the fucking... And then when he finally looks back, like, the guy is all fucked up. Like, literally near death. And the machine's like, he'll tell you anything you want to know now.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, he finds out some information. He gets, like, the leader's name. And then, like, that they were hired by somebody else, and then he dies. So then he leaves. But as he's leaving, it's like, oh, the tech guy, because he told you not to go anywhere, now he's trying to shut me down remotely.
Yep.
And he's like, so you got to get there real fast. He's like, okay, I'll take my chair. He's like, no, that's too slow. You got to run. So he literally has to run to this like dark web hacker that the machine had found earlier.
With that South African haircut.
Yeah. The Zeph haircut.
Yeah.
The Die Antwoord haircut. Yeah, the machine basically gives him like his admin password and the command that has to be run to like to fix to shut down the remote control and to like, you know, reboot the machine
jailbreak him. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So he has to like write this shit down with a Sharpie on his arm while he's running to this thing. You know, he starts like shutting down, like his leg shuts down, his arm shuts down. He barely gets to the door. He gets in the door before he completely shuts down. He gives the hacker the info. The hacker then jailbreaks the chip and says, oh, yeah, you're fixed. You just got to reboot. But like, yeah, the bad guys are coming. So I'm going to leave.
I'm going to leave all these people stuck in VR for days or weeks.
Yeah, they don't give a shit. They made their money already. Why would they care? So the bad guys now, it's the guy who's the leader, Fisk, who's the leader of the group. That's the guy who actually shot his wife.
And showed his face, too.
Yes, yes. He did show his face in the beginning. So, yes, we as the audience now know, and he knows, that this is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got his own little, like, buddy. You know, they both have arm guns. You know, it's the same. We can tell they're all part of the same group.
Right.
So he gets rebooted. He runs away. He ends up killing the bodyguard guy. And then eventually ends up kind of tracking that guy down as well, like getting back into his house and then, you know, sneaking up on him going, hey, you know, they fight because he's also got machine stuff in him. So they're like doing machine fight stuff back and forth. But eventually, you know, the guy wins and Fisk, you know, kind of goes, oh, you know, it was, you know, we were hired by the guy. Like it wasn't an accident that you were picked. Like, you know, your wife was supposed to die and then we were supposed like we didn't shoot you in the neck with a gun. Like we shot you in the neck with this special device that was made to sever your spine.
Bovine technology.
Right. Yeah. It was what the same technology they used to kill cows, which I don't know if that's true, but that's not as exact thing as
in it takes this to world. Sure.
Right. You know, yeah, it is the future. I can't say that for sure. But we were hired by the tech dude. And he's like, oh, my God. So he goes to the tech dude. Right. And the tech dude basically, you know, there's a lot of back and forth here, but basically we find out the tech dude was under the control of the chip as well. Like basically once he made the chip was like then way smarter than he was and then did everything. And he was under the control of the chip essentially.
Yeah. The chip chose you. Stem chose right. you.
Yeah. The chip chose him because he was like one of the very few humans left that did not have computer implants because
he is pure
because he was the tech dumb guy that did not want to have any of that tech stuff. So that's why the machine chose him, because he wanted to take him over, but he didn't want any other machine parts in there. It just wanted him to be him and the human. He wanted to be totally human. So that's the chip then controlled him. So then it wasn't him that did the hit on his wife. It was the chip that's inside him. So then he tries to fight back, but then we realize that, since you put the root kid in me, I don't have any safeguards anymore. I don't have any controls anymore. I can do whatever I want. I control you. And so he's trying to force himself not to kill, because the detective followed him there. Now she knows what's going on, and she thinks that he killed the people, which he technically did, right?
Yeah.
And so trying to kill her, and he's trying to stop it. And then essentially he wakes up in a hotel room, wakes up in a hospital room. He's fine. His arms and legs work just fine. His wife is alive and surviving, right? And it's this happy world where none of this horrible shit happened. And he's this is great. Cut back. Yeah, the machine is now totally taken over his body. He's now locked away in his own mind, living in a fantasy world.
Yep, he's trapped like those VR people.
Right. And then the machine kills the tech guy and kills the detective, and then gets everything that the machine wants, and then movie over.
Yep.
So I say this is a horror film because, it's got two layers, right? It's got the layer of, AI, controlling everything and then trying to take over the world, right? Just like we had in Ex Machina. Mm-hmm. But we also have the body horror aspect of you don't control yourself, right?
Oh, there's that, and the kills are quite graphic.
Right. Yeah. But if you look at how this movie is categorized, it's action. That's it. That's it. There's nothing else there. It's just listed as action. And I think it kind of transcends just action and being it's definitely got that body horror version of you literally lose control of your own body. And then you kind of make that deal with the devil, right? To get that, your body back. But then you realize you're not fully in control of your own body. And then ultimately at the end, you completely lose your body and become a prisoner within yourself while the machine controls your body.
Right.
So yeah, that's why I think it should be labeled as horror. What do you think?
I can see that. I think I was after I watched it too, I'm just trying to remember if I've seen this before or it's been on lists of things that I've seen. I feel like I knew every beat of this, so I felt like I've seen it. I couldn't tell you if I did or not, but no, it is essentially what Ex Machina in your head, right? And to lose your first off, it's horror because to get into that state he was in, right? For someone that liked to work with his hands, that was depressing and horrific enough for him to want to kill himself. With his wife not being there too. But then to lose all facilities because you were trying to avenge your wife's murder, and it is as you said, it's the creation taking over the creator. It's the same thing, but cybernetic and cyberpunk implants instead.
Right.
So yeah, it's definitely horror. Like I said, it's almost like that dual personality for something almost like a Jekyll and Hyde. As well.
Yeah. It's just interesting that, the chip can take over your body and do things, and you're just kind of along for the ride.
Right.
You're not in control. The robot is, moving your body all around. And at first it's great because he's able to do cool karate moves and shit. Right. And he's like, oh, wow, this is awesome. And then, again, to me, that would be terrifying immediately. Right, I am not in control of myself. This is not cool. But I can see the attraction. Right, mm-hmm. I can see that. Being able to do karate without training for years is
alluring. Kung fu.
Right.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's definitely horror, and the body horror is there too. It's gruesome. And then if you know who did this movie, you know why. So. Lee Winnell, who did Saw, created the original Saw. Adam from Saw franchise.
Yeah.
And that's Specs from Insidious. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first for highlights?
I'll go first. That's fine. Okay. So I like the classic cars that were in it. There's only a couple, but they're very cool. I like them. I do like the whole kind of cyberpunk aesthetic of everything. The kind of the world, the kind of the fashion to an extent of like the implants and all that kind of stuff. It's not as heavy as a lot of the other stuff in there, but I think it's very tastefully done and fun. The effects of all those are pretty cool as well. Not over the top. Like they don't go crazy.
No, it's not Jigsaw.
But... Yeah, it's like a believable cyberpunk kind of near future.
Yeah.
I think they did a really good job with that. I did like the how once he is controlled by the machine, his movements are like a lot more like robotic, which would be weird, right? Like, oh, I want to move my arm, and then it's kind of like moving like a robot moves. Like that would, I don't know, that would freak me out. I wouldn't really feel like I'd be totally in control of my arm if I was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he did a pretty good job of selling that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't think I'd be able to do that.
Right. Yeah.
You need a movement coach.
Right. Yeah. And I liked at the end how there was like, you really get like three twists in a row.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Where it's like, oh, you know, it was all a big plan. You know, they were going to, you know, the guy was going to do it to you. And then the guy's like, oh, it wasn't me. It was the machine. And, you know, and then the machine was like, yep, it was me. And I wanted you because you don't have any implants. And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
But it was good. You know, it all happens, you know, pretty close to one another, but it was an interesting ride. And again, the ending is terrible. It's a terrible ending to where the poor guy who is like the protagonist for the rest of the film literally gets trapped in his own mind when his mind literally breaks, and it breaks on purpose because the AI forced it to.
Right.
Like literally put him in situations where his fragile psyche just shattered.
Right.
That's bad. It's messed up. That's it. What do you got?
I think it was interesting. I don't think I've ever seen it before, and it kind of tells you what you're in for. Where you have the sound wave, right, the voice sync, reading the production companies to you.
Yeah.
Instead of showing you.
Right. Yeah, it's like an AI voice reading it. Yeah.
I'm going, well, that's interesting. Like, that really tells you what this movie is going to do, like, immediately. I've never seen someone reading you the production credits instead of having the fucking 5 minutes that it takes sometimes to do it. I like the smart house in a way. I don't like the smart car. I like the smart house. I want the house to be able to print me a pizza. Let's face it.
I don't know. The smart car would be really cool because then like, I wouldn't care about driving like longer distances.
Cause
then I could do whatever I want. I could watch TV. You know, I could play a game. I could surf the internet. I could read a book. You know, I could be doing all of these things that you can't do when you're driving. Or at least you should not be doing when you're driving.
I have driven a Tesla. It's weird.
Oh no, we're not there yet. I'm not saying I would do it now with our current technology. Absolutely not. But if you're talking technology that exists in that world, that would be great.
Yeah.
Just get in the car and the car drives me where I'm going. That'll be fantastic. You could get, you know, fucking drunk and the car would drive you home. You know what I mean? Like, that's awesome.
Yeah. And the idea of the AI and STEM really being the big catalyst of it. I do like, you know, and just it literally broke his mind. As you said, it broke him. Like, he was so fucked in the head. He's like, yep, it's done. I give up in this real world. So, and that bad ending, yeah, it's an amazing setup to get to that point. And I, as you said, I think he sells it. I think he sells the movement of that shift, that change to it. Also the camera changes too. Right.
Yeah. When he's doing like certain movements, it like follows him. Yeah. It's like an interesting way that it's like, I don't know, mapped to his movements, but yeah, it's definitely an uncanny valley type of thing.
It's not shaky cam, but it's almost like a third person Resident Evil cam.
Kind of. It like, it reminds me of like when you get those like, you know, cameras that are like mounted to a helmet.
Yeah.
And like a person's running and it's at a kind of weird angle because it's like you're still seeing them from the same angle, but you can tell they're moving all around.
Right.
It's kind of like that. But yeah, but a third person version of
it. But it wasn't like motion sick. Inducing like other ones are.
No, it's just enough for you to go like, oh, that's weird. That's right. Interesting.
It's almost unnerving, unsettling. So that they're able to do that made you feel at that unease to it. So I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my highlights. I'll roll into my low points. Licking your greasy finger blood.
Hey, man, that's what mechanics do.
I don't lick it. I've caught myself on engines. I don't go, oh, let me just get this oil here and lick it off my finger, too. No, I don't. I immediately get a wipe and get it cleaned off. That's how you get infections. Clearly, evil man is kind of evil.
Right. Like, yeah, it's interesting because you kind of expect it, right? Because he's a very creepy, like, off-putting person.
Right.
And then you get it, and then you don't.
But it's also, okay, if you go to a fucking billionaire's or trillionaire's house, he's showing you this piece of tech, and you don't sign an NDA, something's wrong.
Well, he can say, look at this chip, it's going to change the world. I mean, you don't know anything about it.
I'm just saying, it's like that kind of gives off, like, okay, that to me, that was a big hint of immediately he set this into motion. Like, it wasn't, I don't think, that big of a twist when you find out it was the guy, right? Kind of behind it, but being used. So I felt like that was too much information, and it was clearly designed that way. I don't necessarily think some of the acting was good in this movie. I think Gray was great. I don't think anyone else was. I think the guy who played the billionaire wasn't good at all.
He was deliberately awkward. He was trying to play the, like, you know, kind of autistically, socially awkward super tech guy.
Maybe. I don't think the mustache man was good actor either.
I mean, he was just an asshole. Yeah. That's all he had to do. He wasn't very in it for very long.
It seems like the cops have two whole drones.
Well, two whole drones that are in the area, sure. They were in the bad side of town. That's not where they're going to put their drones.
I know. And, you know, the idea of, it bothers me the fact, you know, the detective was like, also likes to get her hands dirty. She doesn't like all these machines. And she puts in Gray's name into the system. It's like, nope.
You're wrong. Well, yeah, it's like the machine's like, dude's quadriplegic. You need to keep looking.
Right. It wouldn't even let her input it as an idea.
No. Well, yeah. It's like the machine's like, okay, stupid. Guy can't move. He can't kill people when he can't move.
But I just don't like the idea of a computer being able to tell you no. Like that.
Well, I'm sure they could have overridden it. I'm just,
yeah. And that haircut of the hacker is, I can't stand the haircut.
Come on, man. It's a hacker haircut.
It's not. Stop.
Hackers of the future have to have wacky hair. It's a fact of nature.
And I wanted your opinion. Okay. How many bullets do you think that guy fired from his arm without reloading?
Well, see, that's the thing. We don't know how long the arm magazine was. There's nothing to compare that to.
And I also feel like the logistics of the arm gun is not good. Like, sometimes guns jam. What happens when that happens? You know,
it raises a lot. Your arm on a wall.
It raises a lot of questions of what that really looks like. But I know you like cyberpunk more than I do. So,
well, yeah, cyberpunk games, you know, RPGs, all that stuff. They'll have like an arm gun, but it's usually not like a you know, like a normal use. It's kind of like a you know, last line of defense kind of thing.
Also, energy weapons, typically not actual bullets.
Well, part of cyberpunk is you don't really have lasers. Yeah. Lasers aren't really a cyberpunk aesthetic.
maybe more of a flashlight arm. So, that's what I got. What are your low points?
Yeah, I mean, the accident and the aftermath is fucking, wow, it's depressing, dude. Like, you feel bad. It's like, this guy's life sucks. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, it's just not good. And it's a kind of a long scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, that scene does not feel good. It's kind of funny because it's dated. It came out in 2018, right? Mm-hmm. And like the awkward tech guy comes walking into the hospital with a mask on, and he's like, I'm not going to give you bird flu, kid. Like, obviously made before the pandemic, because like, you know, now masks are normal, right? They're everywhere. It's a thing we had to get over in the pandemic, right? Well, yeah, most of us. But again, like in this, you know, teasing him for wearing a mask in a hospital in 2018 is just fun.
Yeah.
Again, I don't care how big of an asshole a quadriplegic is. I'm not going to beat him up. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what kind of piece of shit you have to be. Like, I don't care if a quadriplegic is talking shit to me. Like, okay, man, you deserve that. Like, I'll just walk away. I can go places you can't, like, stop hurting my feelings. But like, I don't think I would ever be like, yeah, I need to throw you on the ground and stab you with a knife. Like, I no.
With two or three other people.
Right. With guys with guns, like, going, oh yeah, I'm a big tough guy. Like, dude, you're a quadriplegic. Like, this is the definition of like a bully. Like, yeah. Anybody can see that. Why are these people just okay with this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was like, just wow. It's fucked up. I mean, obviously that wasn't the case, but it looked, that was what it appeared to have been.
Even to the bartender, it's like, yeah, no, my mama said never.
Right. Yeah. Like, this is fucked up. Right. Like,
yeah,
that might be a bartender in a really shitty dive bar that caters to criminals, but you know what? I'm not going to beat out a quadriplegic. That's too far.
Yeah.
And then I have some of the fighting. There's like these kind of goofy, like, one-liners where he's like making jokes and shit, like while the machine is fighting with his body.
I'm a little ninja.
Yeah, like that's it's just a little too far for
me. I'm not a ninja.
Yeah, a little cheesy for me, but yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, I was surprised when this was Lee Winnell, right? Because we're used to Saw and let's face it, the shitty world of Insidious. And somehow he's able to do action sci-fi horror. How? Why is that like a better script for him? I don't know.
I don't know. Again, but I think there's a lot of elements here of horror that, like we said at the beginning, there's always like, oh, there's guns involved. Oh, there's like robots. That's not horror. Like, it usually goes that way. I don't know why. But it does. Like, yeah, even, I mean, like, you know, we got like Jason X, right? Mm-hmm. In space with fucking literal robots, mm-hmm. fucking laser weapons and shit, right? That's horror. Like, no one questions that. But then when it comes to this, it's like, no, it's not horror. You're full of shit.
It has body augmentation and not done in a way that looks pleasant.
Right, yeah. Body augmentations, like, you know, losing control of yourself, and then, like, literally the end is, like, you've lost control of yourself, and an AI is now losing the world.
He wanted a meat puppet.
Right, yeah. It's like, that's terrifying. Like, this right. should definitely be labeled as horror.
Yeah. So then, Salem, how many spare parts out of 10 do you give Upgrade?
I really like this movie. I didn't see it when it first came out, but I think I saw it. It was like in the beginning of the pandemic, I think, is when I finally watched it. So yeah, like it was out for a couple of years at that point. But I really do like it. I've now watched it a lot of times, because I like it a lot. It checks a lot of my boxes. So I'll give it a 9 spare parts out of 10.
Wow. Better than Ex Machina.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's surprising. Oh, like I said, have I seen this before? I think so. I know I obviously watched it again. Maybe it will take a couple more watchings, but I think it's on par with Ex Machina on my scale. I think I will also give this one a 8.75. I like Ex Machina more, for sure, but not by much.
And that's okay.
Anything else you want to, for all the naysayers who are screaming at us right now saying this isn't horror?
No, again, it's all about the themes and the thing. Like, Terminator, I think, is just a horror movie all around. Really, it's got a lot of horror elements. These other two is like, you got to kind of, I guess, think about it for a minute to realize the horror elements of it. Like, those I could, you know, I understand the debate for Ex Machina and Upgrade. I think they're horror, but I understand the debate there. The Terminator, I think, just is a horror film, but of course, because it is such an action icon type of thing that no one ever classifies it as horror, but I think they should.
Well, it's interesting because we talked about a movie that would fit into this theme that I think people say is horror, and that's Hardware.
Hardware is presented as more of a horror, you know, like that. I don't think there's any question, but again, like how many guns are in there?
A couple.
Yeah, like one. But one shotgun.
But it's still a machine augmentation with AI, right?
Right.
So it's interesting that, maybe it's just, maybe the unwritten rule is two guns or more action.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if there's like a gun fight where like both sides have a gun or there's a car chase, I think it like disqualifies it as being a horror film. I think that's the rule.
All right, we need to set you up with a card table that says Terminator is a horror movie. Change my mind.
Exactly.
That'd be an interesting thing to do. Huh. I know you wouldn't do that, but...
I wouldn't. You can do it, but you're more than welcome to.
Yeah, so we'll have an earpiece in here. You tell me what to say to the people.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Well, anything else before we wrap up then?
Nope.
All right. So... maybe we hit ourselves in the head way too many times last month, or these mind games have messed with our brain, or we're just really drunk and we're still recovering from October. But hopefully we can find ourselves next week and play a little game of Guess Who. Do you want to leave them in suspense what the next three are? You want me to tell them?
You can tell.
I know you like your mind games. So next episode, we will be covering Session 9, Shutter Island, and The Endless for the third week of the month of Salem for 2024. And remember, we watch bad movies, so you don't have to. And let's face it, we didn't watch one this week that was bad, so kudos.
On purpose. That was on purpose.
You saying that you could go bad?
Oh, if you want me to, sure. I don't want to. Right.
All right. This has been Graveyard saying, have you checked in the children?
This is Salem saying, long live the new flesh.
Good night.